Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. You know how we do it. The Friday Night Free Show has begun. Steve Merrill steps up and in. We'll bat lead off this evening. We'll run the gauntlet with Steve. We'll talk baseball, basketball, some NASCAR, as Steve's our one NASCAR guest that can keep us in the loop. Tony Finn throws it down from Las Vegas, Nevada. Mick Aussie from Planet Mick will give us some overnight AFL picks. The countdown of the National Football League draft is on. And we've got a pretty big deal, actually, but, you know, nothing to do with the draft, really, as far as, like, the top picks in the draft. But the Kansas City Chiefs get offensive tackle Orlando Brown for the Baltimore Ravens for four picks, including a 2021 first rounder. So it sounds like a lot. Oh, four picks. Yeah. What the headline doesn't say is that Baltimore actually sent back a second round pick. So the Kansas City Chiefs get one of the best, you know, offensive linemen in the league, who's young right now, for their 31st overall pick, the 94th pick in the draft this year, a fourth rounder, and a sixth rounder. All right? Next year. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens get, you know, the Ravens give their second round pick, like, this year. So I don't even understand this. So, yeah, you know, listen, give us Orlando Brown and we'll give you a bunch of picks. Or how about you give us the picks back now? Yeah, okay, sure, we'll give you a second pick. What the hell's wrong? What the hell are you doing? Honestly, I'm not even a Baltimore Raven fan, and I'm disgusted by this deal as a Buffalo Bill fan. Number one, you don't do deals with good teams, all right? Number two, you don't do deals with the championship team that's trying to stay on top, all right? Their one weakness is the offensive line. Don't help them. You think they're going to get Orlando Brown with all those picks? All those picks that you have right now, you're not getting Orlando Brown. And now Patrick Mahomes is laughing. He's got Laurent Tardif coming back, and he's got Orlando Brown coming in. Dodger fans aren't going to be laughing if San Diego beats them again. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
Breathe. You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How would you rather feel? Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
Just breathe, dude.
Or swimming in the warm waters of confidence that comes from having the winning edge?
We thought so.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
You think you know what you don't?
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down on the Friday Night Free Show. We got a full house here this evening. Tony Finn will join us from Vegas a little bit later on. Mick Aussie from Planet Mick talks AFL football. We'll bring in Steve Merrill. We'll get into some NASCAR, NBA basketball, Major League Baseball, the NFL draft now less than a week away. And I see a story here. Justin Fields draft stock slipping. But why? Well, I don't know. Like, I didn't know that, like, the draft market was open yet. Like, how can a stock drop that the market hasn't opened yet? You know what I'm saying? So, if Justin Fields goes 18th or something like that, then Dennis Dodd, feel free to write an article about how Justin Fields fell in the draft. I don't know. I see Justin Fields listed right now at FanDuel over under 3.5. Well, now, did anyone think he was going to be like, well, you know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about with the media. Like, with like the perception and reality. Oh, Justin Fields' draft stock is really plummeted. His over-under is 3.5, jackass. What, like, what? What is he supposed to be, 2? What, like, 2.5? I don't know. I wish I was, like, I wish I plummeted. You know, let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. Steve, I wish I plummeted, said that things were so bad that I was projected to be the third pick in the draft, Steve. He's really plummeted, huh? How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, good, Gabe. And there's never been a chance he's going 1 or 2. So it's basically, does he go 3 or not, is what that over-under is saying. You know, it's basically a yes or no prompt as he drafted 3rd.
Yeah, you know, the big thing is this Mac Jones stuff. And if there's one thing we know about the media guys right now in the NFL draft is they don't know. Nobody knows. And there's always that, yeah, but, oh, I hear this. And you heard what? You heard what? What, John Lynch called you and told you, yeah, we're taking Mac Jones? Like, I love how people talk like they're somehow in the know. Like, yeah, Shanahan's told them. They don't even tell players, Steve, they're drafting them. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't even tell players till 30 seconds before. They'll call them and they say, yeah, listen, we're taking you. You know, they don't tell anybody. So, like, the fact that, you know, like, when I find it comical, yet, you know, Justin Fields seems to be the one. I mean, and it's just a daily hit job on Justin Fields. You know, Dan Orlovsky, oh, is his work ethic. And people are like, that's a pile of crap. Now, oh, he's got epilepsy. We're worried about him getting a seizure. It's funny, though. You never hear about Mac Jones getting arrested for drunk driving a couple of times, right? You know, they don't bring that up. I don't know. Like, it's just funny. Like, the I saw another one yesterday. Mac Jones, prototypical leader. It's like, yeah, exactly. Of course he is. What do you think, Steve? What do you think of this Mac Jones stuff? Like, that Mac Jones could be the third pick to San Francisco. A lot of people think he is. Do you buy into that?
Yeah, I mean, before I want to say, you know, here's my take. Mac Jones is appealing to me just because he was in all those big games. He managed them. He played well. And then I keep thinking of, you know, my local Washington Red Hogs. I'm pushing for that, by the way, Gabe Morenci, the Washington Red Hogs, after we talked. But
it's
I
not
can't
crazy,
help but
Steve.
Think
it's growing on me a little.
I know, it is growing on me, too. And I can't help but think Dwayne Haskins. And I just think of the other recent Ohio State quarterback.
That's not
and
fair,
I do
though.
Think, oh, I don't. I know, but Gabe, it's more than just 2 or 3, like Cardale Jones, Haskins. I mean, I know Fields might be better, but. And I know what you're going to say. It's not like Alabama's put anybody out since Namath. I'm well aware of that.
Yeah,
but for some reason, Jones just looks like a little bit more of a safety for the NFL. But then again, he might not be a 3rd overall pick. He might be a good backup. I'm not sure I'd use a 3rd pick on him. But, yeah, I think Fields has some tremendous upside, but he also could be a flop. It wouldn't shock me. But all these guys are like that. I mean, there's just no sure thing in the NFL draft.
Yeah, you know what? I totally get it. But the thing is, you have to separate it, right? Cardell Jones played a couple of games, right? He literally did. He played Ohio State, right, guys? I mean, I've been trying to keep up with all the quarterbacks, but Buddy got hurt. Guy played in the semifinal and played in the final, right? And won. And on a damn good team, he won. He made some plays. And then the legend of Cardale Jones was born. But he didn't get drafted very high, right? Dwayne Haskins had a cannon and, you know, maybe Haskins doesn't suck. He's just a head case, right? But Fields is different, Steve. I mean, you know, he went to Georgia. He left. He's from Georgia. So it's not, you can't say, oh, well, he's this Ohio State lifer or something like that.
Good point.
Yeah, he beat Trevor Lawrence in Clemson, right? They went head to head. He beat him. He's been 1 and 1A with Trevor Lawrence his entire life, like in high school. They're from the same area. So, like, they've always just sort of been right there. But I totally get it. You know, listen, the thing, you know, just, it'll be interesting to see, man. But my point is, like, look at, like, Trey Lance, Steve. Like, Trey Lance, North Dakota State. I've thought it myself before. It's hard not to have that, you know, prejudice, for lack of a better word, I guess, right? Or inherent, like, so when you hear Trey Lance, North Dakota State, it's hard not to think of Carson Wentz, right? You think, well, you just Correct. Took a quarter like Carson Wentz, are you really, and how's this working out? But Trey Lance is a hell of an athlete. So, what does it have to do with this kid went to the same school as Carson Wentz? It's irrelevant in the big picture of things, right? But yeah, it's fascinating. We'll see how it plays out. But ultimately, Steve, nobody really knows, right? Nobody knows. And the odds makers don't know. The odds makers have to go with what the media is telling them. That's why the NFL draft props are one of the most fascinating things, Steve, to me. They don't, there's no algorithm, there's no computer. All they can do, and they admit it, all they can do. I read an interview with Chuck Esposito the other day, and he said it's a pain in the ass. He said, I have to be on online all the time, just like reading these NFL reports. But no one in the media knows. Not one of these jackasses has an insight to what any of these teams are doing, Steve. The only thing we know for sure is Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville. They admitted it. They've already given him the playbook, right? That's a fact. So after that, I don't know. Maybe the Jets aren't even taking Zach Wilson out of BYU, Steve. We don't know they are. Everyone says they are. Doesn't mean they are.
Plus, I mean, to be able to maneuver and stuff on game day as well, you don't want the opposition to know who you're taking. Plus, you want to make just like game planning for a game. You don't want them to know if you're healthy or not. You don't want them to exactly have their draft picks lined up. You want chaos. You want them to make a mistake maybe when they're picking. So, you know, Trevor Lawrence going one, we all know because Jacksonville has nothing to lose by saying that. But yeah, 2, 3, 4, you want confusion and chaos. You almost want to throw head fakes into the media. I'd almost say you want to take a contrarian view from what you're hearing.
Exactly.
Just looking at all these quarterbacks. You know, one thing, the Ohio State thing, because they have had some guys that haven't lived up to potential is my point. But same with Alabama. I mean, they haven't had a star quarterback in the NFL in a long time. You know, and we see it from all these guys. The North Dakota State is interesting because of the competition difference, obviously. But his numbers were off the chart. But you do have to factor in weaker competition. And that's the other problem with Zach Wilson. He had huge numbers as well, slightly weaker, but they played some big-name teams still, you know, those non-conference games.
Not many.
Independent. Not many, though. He racked up some big numbers. But Fields and Lawrence, I mean, Fields' numbers are as good, if not better, than both Mac Jones and Lawrence, and obviously he played a tough schedule. Some things I like to look at, I've done some studies over the years, yards, percentage completions and yards per pass both translate to success sometimes in the NFL. I also like to look at touchdown interception ratio, because obviously interceptions is what kills you in the NFL, turnovers, and Fields is very strong in all those metrics. So, I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft this year. It's very deep. I almost think you kind of make a mistake trading up to third. I wonder if the Niners really do have a guy, or maybe they're still not sure. They just wanted to get in a position to take one of them, maybe.
I think I respect the Niners enough. And I think they're smart enough that I think you're right. I think they're telling people it's Mac Jones. They're locking it in, and it's not Mac Jones, right? They're going to surprise everyone. It's going to be Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And you know what I mean? People, I hear from close sources. So what? Like, the Niners felt obligated to tell people in the media what they're going to do 2 weeks before the draft? Come on. Bring it.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's knowing how to play the game, and then there's knowing how the game is played. We're the second part. Some call it strategy, but we just call it the edge. Come and get it. Your trusted source for gaming, odds, and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. Sirius XM Channel 204 throwing it down. Steve Merrill kicking with us from Wager Talk. And Steve, the crew in our chat are talking about Justin Fields. And a lot of people seem to like him quite a bit, including myself. And to me, Steve, the fact that he has been the most attacked and the most maligned kid, you know, for the last month, and it's almost been daily. Like, they try to come at him with something new all the time. And to me, that's like a sign that he's actually the guy. Like, you're only the guy, and I would tell him that if I was his agent. I'd say, don't take this personal, kid. I said, you're getting ripped every day by GMs who want you to fall, right? They want you to fall. Because some GMs, guys, some GMs will buy into it. They'll buy into it, right? They'll think, they'll be like, man, my job's on the line. Everybody thinks this about the kid. I'm going the safe way. So even if it's not true, and Steve, we live in that fake news, you know what I mean? Like, it's like politics. Doesn't matter whether it's true. Just say it. Just say it and see what happens. And then even if it's not true, like a great example is Kevin Durant, Steve. So Kevin Durant, listen, Kevin Durant says a lot of dumb things. He gets into it with kids on Twitter sometimes. It is what it is. But there's no, like I said, if you want to pick on Kevin Durant, you don't need to make up quotes about him. So Skip Bayless and Sharp, Shannon Sharp, on their show had a quote that's all over the internet and it looks all official and everything, oh, from this show. And it says how, you know, Kevin Durant's quote says that if LeBron James is the greatest player of all time and I beat him twice in the finals and I was the MVP of those finals, what the hell does that make me? Right? So Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp on TV, on their show, rip Kevin Durant. Who the hell does this guy think he is? He joined Golden State. You know, wasn't, you know, he, you know, the Warriors were already winning without him, and now he's talking smack. The thing is, he never said that, Steve. He never said it. It's made up. He's never said that. Like, there's no documentation. Wow. It's made up. So he actually tweeted them and said, y'all, like, just make things up now about me? And he said, prove me where I've ever said that. He goes, show me. And he said, not just made up from some tweet. Excuse me. Bless me. So he said, you know, prove it to me. So, but Kevin Durant was pissed and he went off and he had a point, Steve. He said, it doesn't even matter whether I said it or not. He goes, you guys just hammered me on national TV. He said, everyone's going to believe that I think that anyways. Right? Oh, he didn't say that, but I bet he thinks that anyways. And he's right. Like, you plant the perception, it doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter. You throw it out there. So that's what my whole point, guys, with the NFL draft is, that it really is real. Like, the NFL GM guys will, like, just smear these kids, and they'll tell the media, oh, yeah, man, the kid did this, he did that, he's got this problem, we don't like this. And in reality, he's hoping that the media really picks up on it. It becomes a big-ass story, and it scares off his colleagues. He'll be like, you know what? Buddy ahead of me is a big wuss. He's scared of what the media says. He's scared of the media. He's going to get scared off. And it's, you know, it really is evil, though, Steve, isn't it? Instead of just grading the kids, it's like an evil, evil game, Merrill. It really is.
It's like everything. I mean, whether it's politics, like you said, I mean, the best example is politics, obviously. One side just says something about the other side. If you repeat it enough, it becomes factual, even if it's fiction. And, you know, we've seen that for a long time now. It goes back to, like, the Nazi propaganda of the 40s. You know, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Where the communist parties do it. It's sick. But what's worse now, Gabe, is that the stuff disseminates faster. People are lazier than they've ever been. That's a bad combination. So they don't, like you said, they see the quote. They don't check to see if it's real.
They don't see the reaction.
You just assume it is.
Right. Yeah, they don't see it.
And then
you see it on the news.
It becomes self-fulfilling prophecy at that point.
You see it on the news, and all networks do it, so it's not a right or left thing. They'll rip someone, Steve, for an hour. It's not even true. And then the next day, you know, the classic, sort of like the Simpsons disclaimer with like 2 seconds left in the show.
Right.
Last night we were wrong about something and we apologize for that. Have a good night, everybody. It's like, yeah, but and we apologize. It's like, yeah, it's too late. You already threw it out there. And people believe, like you said, Steve, nobody, oh, did you hear Durant said he's better? And I guarantee you. And people say, oh, I bet you he thinks that anyways, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And already, I'm seeing it in my chat right now. People are saying, what about Justin Fields? I don't know, man. He's got epilepsy. Dude, my mother had epilepsy. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's, you know what I mean? It's manageable. It's not so, like, what? You worry he's going to have a seizure in the middle of the Super Bowl? I don't know. The kid just beat Clemson. He didn't have a seizure, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. But even our guys are like, I don't know. I heard he has epilepsy. It's a smear job, Steve. That's all it is. I'm not saying the kid's a star, but I'm saying they're doing this to smear him. So he'll fall in the draft, so they will take him. I'm telling you guys, that's how this crap works.
Yeah, I saw that headline yesterday or the day before, and I would have been like, I was like, wow, and that click on it. And after reading the two sentences, I was like, it's not a big deal. He's had it since he was a kid. He's had no attacks on the field. He takes medicine, and other members of his family have outgrown it in their 20s, and they think he'll do likewise, and he's already doing it probably. So I was like, oh, well, that wasn't a big deal. But I saw the headline. Exactly. I was like, wow. I was like, no wonder why he's dropping. I'd seen that as well. You bring up a great point, Gabe. I just saw this a couple hours ago, by the way, too. One of the guy on CNBC, who's a former like health department head, he's been their talking head since last year. He's private now. And he was saying next Christmas, we probably won't be able to have Christmas parties and things like that. And one of the people had a great point, and it's the same thing with Fauci. And I never thought of this before. I'm not like you and I look at it like we want everything to reopen. We hope they find a cure. Wouldn't that be great? You know, that's how you and I look at things. I can't relate to these guys because they really don't have fame and a job anymore if everything goes away. And I hadn't thought of that till like a couple hours ago. I heard someone say that. I was like, you know, you hate to think that's why people are like saying, hey, we need to shut down more and stuff. But you have to put yourself, you have to look at it from their perspective. And like Fauci, a 40-year bureaucrat, had you ever heard his name until last year? I sure as hell hadn't. He's famous now. He's thrown out first pitches at the Nationals games last year. I mean, I don't think he doesn't want a cure, but subconsciously, does he realize it maybe? I mean, he is better off with things.
Listen, I'm not going to dispute that, you know, I don't think, there's no doubt. And I've seen this in other places where the doctors become the rock stars, right? They're the media stars, people buy, trust the science, people buy into them. But listen, Fauci will make more money not working, Steve. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, and I saw Fauci makes like 500K a year, 480K or something like that. He can't write books now, tell all and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Imagine Fauci, what he would get for a book deal, bro. What was it like sitting with Trump in the middle of the pandemic? And what happened? What did you see, you know, with the bleach stuff? And like, you know, like, but I totally get it. But like on a bigger scale, Steve, you're bang on. It's like everything, right? Like, why do wars continue? People make money off of it. Why is Lindsay, you know, I see these guys are flipping out the other day that they're going to pull out of Afghanistan. Guys, it's been 28 years. What do you want? It's done. It's over. What do you want? You stay. Lindsey Graham wants to stay there forever, right? No, we can't let go, right? Like, you see it all the time in which, and you're right, Steve, you look at the pandemic, Steve, and the richest people in the world, bro, have like quadrupled their wealth and stuff. Like, Bezos and Amazon. It's Amazon, Facebook. Walmart, more people are online. Walmart. More people are at home. Walmart. More people are coming to our store because everything else is closed. That's a lot of powerful people, Steve, that like things the way they are right now.
No question. That's what scares me the most. And now today they're talking about the tax rate skyrocketing. You're thinking, well, big business put Biden in office. Why would he punish them? But then again, the biggest of the big business, they'll take the hit because they're still billionaires. And what it's going to do is eliminate their competition. And that's what the shutdown has done. It's gotten rid of all the mom and pop stores. Think about it. It's gotten rid of all the local hardware stores, all the local restaurants, not Walmart, not Amazon, not Lowe's, not Home Depot. It's really gutted the middle class. And then you have this whole class warfare thing. You let people fight amongst themselves and say everyone's a racist. They just sit back and they watch it happen. They watch the cities burn. They want the chaos. They don't want anybody else rising up to meet them in the future. I'm telling you, it's bad.
No, it really is, Steve. You're an idiot, and I hate it. It sucks because then the conspiracy people are almost right in the end, right? Oh, it's all of this. And it's like, no, it wasn't planned, but... You know, I hate to use 9/11, but it's just interesting. I was just reading about Pat Tillman earlier in the day. But look at, like, the security complex that began out of that, Steve. You know what I'm saying? Like, the over-security stuff. Like, guys, you used to be able to get on an airplane with a piece of paper. Like, it was, you know. And I understand, it was a tragedy and stuff. But do you really think, like, they know who you are before you get into the airport, guys? Like, do you really think, like, they need you to take your shoes off and, like, do all this crap and step through the X-ray machine? Because, what, you got a bomb hidden in your stomach? Come on. Right? You know what I mean? No. But they make money selling these security apparatuses to every damn airport, right? And they're not going to let it go, so they always have to have the fear. Like, and that's the bottom line, Steve, I think, isn't it? Fear. Like we were talking earlier, propaganda, lies. Yeah. It's funny how we went from NFL draft, but fear. Make people be scared of something, bro. right? Whether the terrorist or the disease or, you know what I mean? Fear, they're coming to get you. Like, look, you know what I mean? Like, isn't that like the politicians? Everything's going to kill you. The Republicans, like, live in this, everything's going to kill you, it's evil, everyone's out to get you. And the Democrats talk like, you know what I mean? Oh, you better do this, and you better not eat a hamburger because it's going to kill you, and we're all going to die. Like, they're all just preaching fear, Steve. We're going to die. It never ends.
Yeah, and there's two reasons for that. First of all, they want us to need them. They have to justify being there. And second of all, the distraction, like I said earlier, the distraction from the other things they're screwing up.
Yeah. Great show. We go from Justin Fields to tell you the truth, from the NFL draft to reality. Sports and life, it's all the same, people. It's all the same. Bring it.
Coming to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How would you rather feel? Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
Just breathe, dude.
Or swimming in the warm waters of confidence that comes from having the winning edge?
We thought so.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Welcome to the bullpen, Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. Well, what are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Great.
Late Night Anger, Man's Rick Class. This is Sports Rage. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Steve, that's the classic Sparky Anderson episode. WKRP, great stuff. And he has the, he's got the British dude from the indoor soccer team on.
I didn't remember that one.
So, Sparky Anderson, he becomes a talk show host on WKRP, gets a sports show. And it's really funny. Like, basically, Andy says to Sparky, so he goes, Mr. Carlson tells me you always wanted to have your own talk show. He goes, not really. He goes, but you've got a lot of experience in this. He goes, nah, but, you know, he goes, it seems pretty easy, right? So the show starts, and he's like, hey, Sparky Anderson, welcome. He opens up his phone lines. And first call is, hey, man, I'm calling for those tickets to the Gary Glitter concert. second call is someone trying to call the cops or the fire department. And, Sparky Anderson saw hosting a daily sports talk show wasn't so easy. Mr. Carlson had to fire him. So it was all tough because he's a big wuss, right? So he had to fire him. And of course, at the end, I'm surprised you don't remember the episode. At the end, he gave Les Nessman, because remember at the end, Les Nessman's sitting there and he's like, he's got a baseball in his hand. And they're like, what's that? Sparky Anderson gave you a signed baseball? And they're all jealous. And he goes, yeah, it goes with the ring. And he has the World Series ring. He gave him his World Series ring.
It's so long since I've seen some of those. I remember some better than others. That one I do not remember. I'd love to see that again, though.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm not calling you out for it. Yeah, I actually watch them, Steve. I'm a nut job. I watch them at like 4 in the morning sometimes. I saw an episode the other night that I didn't remember, actually. It was pretty, like I said, it was great, great writing. Just great, great show. Especially if you're a sports talk show host, it's real good. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. So, yeah, Steve, and I couldn't help but think as we were talking about like shows and like lies, like in real life. So, like George Costanza said, it's not a lie if you believe it. that kind of is true. So, Steve, I'm kind of disappointed, buddy. I was all happy when we were talking about the dirt race and stuff, but Talladega, yeah. You know, I mean, you get into this the restrictor stuff and kind of loses its edge as far as a handicap is concerned, Steve.
Yeah, look, I mean, we say it every time with Daytona and Talladega. It's a crapshoot, but everyone is like 10 to 1 or higher, including Denny Hamlin, who's been very good at the plate tracks. And let's put it in perspective how good Hamlin's been in general this year. Should have won last week on my home track, Richmond. He dominated the race, won both stages 1 and 2. He and Logano were going head-to-head late in the race. I think they had like a 15-second lead over Alex Bowman with 9 laps to go. And Kevin Harvick, who's having an awful season, a Kyle Busch-like season, if you will, cut a tire, restart.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Pulls away and wins the damn thing. So Hamlin has yet to win this year despite just dominating almost every race. He has been top 10 in every race but one when he finished 11th at Miami, including the Daytona race he ran well at. So, but this is a random track, but Hamlin's been by far the best restrictor plate racer. In fact, if you look at since 2018, there's been 13 plate track races at Daytona and Talladega combined. He's been top 10 in like 9 of the 13 with 2 did not finishes. So he's been top 10 in 9 of the 11 races he's finished on these tracks. Nobody else, only 3 other drivers have more than 3 top 10 games in those 13 races. So he just finds a way to stay out of trouble. You know, the question is he due for a bad one? Maybe. But he seems to run up front. And, you know, the recipe is either run up front or you run in the very, very back and you miss that big one in the middle that always happens. And that's why you do see some real long shots in the top 5 and the top 10. And from a fantasy perspective, you know, when you have to make a 6-car lineup, that's something you definitely want to keep in mind.
All right. Well, let's keep it in the Seinfeld realm here and talk about the Penske file. You're not Penske material. that's the best that line ever. You're not Penske material. You are aware that they offered me a job there. Ta-ta. Tell. And he goes, yes, George, I would offer you the job, but, you know, I was going to say you should be aware that we're under indictment from the SEC for insider trading. But Team Penske, the Penske file. And you're right, Steve, and I've always said this, too. Would you agree with this? Is it true? Like, Daytona's more random. Talladega, we hear this, that, oh, it's random plate racing. But it seems to be a lot of the same guys, man. Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano. And then you get Ryan Blaney, who's won 2 of the last 3 here. The Penske Ford crew here. Keselowski, Logano, Blaney. Steve, talk to me about these guys. They're dangerous.
Yeah, and last week at Richmond, Blaney, by far his worst track statistically, if you look at it. And he's good at some of the half miles like Bristol and Martinsville, but he's just terrible for some reason at Richmond. But keep in mind, Richmond is the only 3-quarter-mile track, so it just doesn't work for him. Chase Elliott has also struggled there. They both did not run well again last week, but they both have been pretty good on the plate tracks. And, of course, you got to work with your teammates. You know, Chase Elliott will have those Hendrick cars, Bowman, Byron, for example, and Larson. Blaney will have his teammates. Logano and Keselowski have been as good as anybody on the plate tracks other than Hamlin. And Keselowski is one of those guys, as you know, Gabe, that has been much better at Talladega than Daytona. So Penske would definitely probably be the team to beat, in my opinion.
Steve, how about talk to me about Eric Almirola? So I'm seeing here, what's Almirola at right now? 18-1. And this is a guy that's had some success on these tracks, right? He's won at Daytona. He's won here before. Good plate racer. And as you talked about, it's all about your team, too, right? You know what I mean? Guys, it's all about drafting. So having somebody to draft, having somebody to work with, you need in a race like this. Almirola, what do you think about those odds at 18-1?
Yeah, he's been top 10 5 of the last 6 starts at Talladega. So he's been very good on this track. Something to keep in mind, though, a couple things that would concern me is that, first of all, Clint Bowyer was always good on this track. He's no longer racing. He's no longer his teammate. Kevin Harvick has been good on these tracks, but he's not running well this year. So
good point.
I do worry that Almirola might not have the teammates to team up with. But by the way, Life in the Fast Lane, good 30-minute preview for the race on Wager Talk TV, because I know we don't have a ton of time here to dig into it. Did the show this evening with Andy Lang and Rocky Atkinson. Rocky's free play on the show was Almirola over Bubba Wallace in the head-to-head matchup, and I would agree with him. Wallace is not running well this year with the new team. Andy Lang pointed out something as well on the show today. There's a Netflix special that's going to start about Bubba Wallace. He thinks he's really distracted. He thinks this whole thing was just a media grab, and we are looking to fade Bubba. And Rocky did so this week with Almirola over Bubba in a head-to-head matchup you can find.
Almirola, all right, race matchups. I like it's like golf. I like these matchups. All right, Almirola, I'm seeing Almirola versus Truex Jr. What do you think of that?
Almirola versus Truex. Truex was, Rocky and I both gave Truex as our play against guy this week. He is not good on restrictor play tracks. He's been great the last couple weeks. This is definitely a play against, and that's another reason he knows I didn't mention Gibbs. Hamlin is great, but Kyle Busch, like Harvick, is on the decline, and Truex is not a guy you want to be playing this week. Now, hey, look, once again, anything can happen, but he has not been good on these play tracks compared to his other tracks.
That's great insight, Steve. And you know what? Well, listen, the thing with Truex is, right, he's the king of the cookie cutters, right? You can't be the king of everything. Yeah. He's the king of the cutter, and he's a very good road racer, too, right? He's a good road racer, and he's the mile-and-a-half guy. So that's great to know. And Amarola, this is his strength, actually, guys. I'm not even going to play around, Steve. I'm putting it in right now. I'm clicking around.
Let me throw some. I'll just give you some stats. Yeah. The last six Talladega races, Almirola has been top 10 in five of the six. Truex only has one top 20 finish. No top 10s in those last six races. So it's been night and day for those two guys.
Well, now I just clicked it twice, Steve. I just put it in, and you just said that. I just clicked it again.
I gave you two reasons. I gave you two
I'll be
reasons.
Honest. I put 50 on it, and then I'm like, I'll put another 50. Let's go an even 100, Steve. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go too crazy. Like you said, anything can happen here, right? But 100, I got 100 bucks on this now. Almirola, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if Almirola gets caught up in the big one, then, you know, but he has been much better on this track. It's all things equal. You figure the crashes are 50-50 either way, so I think you have an edge.
All right, let me throw some of these other matchups at you just in case you see an edge here. Bowman versus Byron's kind of a pick 'em. Austin Dillon and Chris Bell, kind of a pick 'em. Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney. So we were just talking about Blaney. What about Blaney? Chase Elliott is basically a pick'em, and we talked about Blaney having success here, Steve.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the odds makers do such a great job matching like evenly matched drivers. I mean, as I just said, Elliott and Blaney really bad at Richmond. Both have been good here. In fact, if you look at the last 13 races since 2018 on Daytona and Talladega, if you look at driver ratings, Blaney's third, Elliott is fourth, Hamlin is actually fifth, even though he has all those top tens. Logano actually has the best driver rating ahead of those guys. So Blaney and Elliott have been very good. Stenhouse Jr. is right behind Hamlin. Don't forget, he's really good at Talladega.
He's
quietly clean this year. And he's been better this year than he's been at other tracks. So he's a guy that hasn't won here for several years, but he's still had four top tens in recent years. And, yeah, he's just a guy that's consistent for some reason on these tracks. By the way, Bowman does rate a little bit ahead of Byron, but not by much. I mean, they both have been pretty mediocre to below average on these type of tracks so far.
Good point. Good call bringing up Stenhouse Jr., who's good on these plate tracks. So other matchups here, Almirola versus Truex, we talked about, all right, Elliott, Blaney, Chris Buescher and McDowell. Buescher's a small favorite. Denny Hamlin's a small favorite over Joey Logano. Eric Jones and Ryan Preece is a pick'em. And Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch is a pick'em.
Well, they do such a great job. So Andy and
it's
Rocky
so annoying,
gave out a long
Steve.
Shot.
Why don't they give us a little bit of something to work with, huh?
I almost think they were watching Life in the Fast Lane on Wager Talk TV because Andy Lang's long shot was Eric Jones and Rocky's was Ryan Preece, and they got him in a head-to-head matchup. I mean, that's insane. So they're both sleepers, but not against each other. It'd be a wash. But Ryan Preece, by the way, I look at his plate racing here. His last nine starts, he's had three did not finish this. In the six races he's finished, he's been top 10 in four of those six, and he's 80-1. I'd look at him at a top five, a top 10. I didn't check the top 10 odds yet, Gabe, if you want to pull those up. I'd like Ryan Preece top 10 as a decent play. I would think he's probably 5-10-1 maybe on those odds.
What about the Busch brothers? They haven't run well here, have they, Steve?
Yeah, they're always, you know, in the contention. Kurt's actually been a good plate racer over his years, and so has Kyle. But like we keep talking about, Kyle Busch is just not the same. Richmond, he was the best driver at Richmond the last three or four years, and he barely had a top 10 car last week. I'm not touching Busch. I'm not touching Harvick on any track going forward until I see something first.
All right, so after all that, it sounds like we just have one prop to isolate here. Eric Almirola over Martin Truex Jr. 100 bucks, it's in. No turning back.
Or over Bubba. Right. I think he's head-to-head against Bubba in some spots because that was Andy's free play on the show today. So Almirola strong, Bubba and Truex are fade. So, you know, mix and match. The books will have a lot of different matchups on Sunday. Some will have different ones than others. So definitely shop around.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, we're going to take a break in a second here. A couple of more minutes with Steve. We'll get his thoughts on Los Angeles and San Diego moving forward this weekend as San Diego's rolling into Los Angeles. and beating down the World Series champion Dodgers. Steve Merrill, the Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage.
Some artists work in clay, some in oils. We work in actionable insights and expert perspectives. But we just call it the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We know things are nuts out there. You need something to depend on.
That's where we come in.
Coming to you 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
With the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else.
Depend on it.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. 3 minute warning, level one. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Steve Merrill with us. So, Steve, the odds makers have dangled relatively low prices for the Los Angeles Dodgers two games in a row. And San Diego has responded two games in a row. Steve, what do you make of this series right now moving forward with San Diego stepping up in the first two games?
Yeah, Tony Finn and I were talking about this again this afternoon. We've been doing a little happy hour show with John Ryan, and that happy hour show knocked me out last week, as you know, because I got like dizzy sick from an ear infection that night. But anyway, I did get a chance to bring up
someone
Tony Finn. He mentioned
drink
to you last week.
It was Tony. Yeah,
I
think
exactly.
Tony Finn spiked it.
Before I got
Tony
sick.
Finn.
I know. Figure that. The last show I do before I get sick last week is with Tony Finn. What a coincidence, right? But you guys had talked about something we brought up last week, and I wasn't here to join you and mention it, is that I make the over-under Dodgers underdog 2.5 times this year. Which way are you going on that, Gabe, out of 162 games?
2.5 times. You know what? Later in the year? Yeah, later in the year. Well, let me ask you, because I'm throwing it out here, even though they've...
Yeah,
that's the thing.
September,
but,
heavy under. Yeah.
But even though there's, you know, here's a couple of losses and people will jump off the wagon here, I think there's a legitimate chance they can win 117 games this year. So if there's 162, so 117-45. What do you think about that? You think they're going to lose more than 45 games, this team?
Yeah, I did the math last week when we were doing this show, and I had them winning about 108, and that was about a 67% the rest of the way. And that still would mean you would lose money betting on them if they're over $2 on average. But here's my other take, Gabe. I think you'll lose money betting against them as well, because when you get to the $250, $300 price range, you're talking about like a 50-cent line instead of a 10-cent line. And I'm not so sure you're going to make money betting either way in Dodger games, to be honest.
You got to lay the run and a half. They either win by the run and a half or they lose. Yeah, that's the gist of it. Yeah, and don't forget, too, L.A., they're going to rack up some wins. San Diego are good, and they played San Diego. It'll be seven times now. Thanks, Dave. Terrified.